One house of the many that make up a city. A pale yellow house, an hour after sunup in Gary, Indiana. A woman lives here on Wisconsin Street with her two daughters. Rhonda is 12, her sister Paula is 9. It is 1979. Their mother, her name is Gloria, hustles them outside into the morning light and then into the dark of the garage and the back seat of her red Chevy Vega. The girls are very young, and they are powerfully tired. They understand what their mother intends to do. She has kept them up all night, softly talking, then shouting, then whimpering to them about where they'll be traveling together, about what must happen next, and they are no longer resistant. With her daughters inside, Gloria tugs at the garage door until it slides down to meet the concrete. She slips into the driver's side, rolls down the windows, turns the key in the ignition. The engine gives off a deep, thrumming sound. Then she waits for them to close their eyes and fall into that steady rhythm. She can see their faces in the rearview mirror, small and brown and perfect. All three are still, their limbs grown heavy as if underwater. The engine continues running, the minutes accumulate, the air thickens. Outside the garage, the neighborhood is awakening. Inside the garage, the girls are passing into an unnatural sleep. What Rhonda remembers next, she and Paula laying side by side on their bottom bunk, not knowing how they got there. They have not exited the world. Gloria is leaning over them, her daughters. They will be all right, she says, just before leaving. Rhonda does not know how much time has passed before she is able to move her body. She rises slowly. A letter is taped to the door from their mother. She is finishing what she set out to do. Rhonda rushes to the kitchen and calls her aunt, who tells her to run, get their neighbor. Through the window, she thinks she sees exhaust seeping out from under the garage door into the bright daylight. Mr. Hollis drags Gloria out of the garage and lays her on her back on the lawn. He drops to his knees and, with elbows locked, hand over hand, pushes hard on her chest. Again and again. The neighbor across the street, a nurse, rushes over and takes her turn trying to pump breath back into Gloria's body. The ambulance arrives, and the fire department, and a medic becomes the third person in line to tend to Gloria. By now, Paula is standing outside, watching. Rhonda sees her younger sister grow hysterical at the sight of this stranger bearing down on their mother's chest, and Gloria, not responding, not responding. Something Rhonda will not forget. No one examines them, the girls, the firemen, the medics. No one so much as takes their pulse. When Gloria is swept off to the hospital, the sisters go stay with their aunt. When after a week their mother checks herself out early, no one asks any questions. When she comes to retrieve her daughters, no one stops her. For years, Rhonda has said that she does not know what transformed her sister. But now she tells me, as if untangling the question aloud, that this was it. This must have been the start of a change in Paula. Because you have to understand, we were all supposed to have been dead. That's what we were expecting. That's what we were hoping. But they were still alive. And what now? Another day in the yellow house?